Praise the Lord. Word's good. Praise God. Well, he's faithful, isn't he?
Amen.
And I like when he interrupts me to take care of business.
Amen.
Crystal, would you come here, please? I want to pray for you. Oh, you want to come here. Trust me. Come forward. As I was doing worship, stand right here. As I was up there worshiping, the Lord said this to me. He said, there's a financial blessing coming your way that is right around the corner. And the reason it's going to happen is because of your faithfulness to take a step towards God. He's going to show you how real he is. So get ready to receive it because it's coming. Bless her in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for signs confirming your word in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's coming. Praise God. Well, that's worth the price of admission.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Right around the corner. That means it's coming soon. Praise God. You know, I've gotten words before that didn't come to pass for a year, a year and a half later, and I just kept my faith on that. And then I've gotten words that manifested soon. I've given out words that took a while to manifest and given out words that took happened right away. But he let us know that one's right around the corner.
Praise God.
Praise God. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for all that you've already done in this service, Father. We are excited, Father, for what you have for us tonight. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that we will hit bullseyes tonight. I thank you we'll go to the next level of glory, Father. And I thank you our lives will be changed and will never be the same. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory. Thank you, Father, for every single person that would come out on a Wednesday night in late November to hear your word. Father, bless them. Send them out of here changed. Father, we thank you. It will be worth our time coming here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, we looked at this scripture. We're going a little different direction, but I want to read it again. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we talked on Sunday the importance of praying for our president, the importance of praying for the upcoming president who's moving his way into office. But the thing that is so amazing to me in verse 2 is, and what we're going to build upon tonight, is the power that the body of Christ has through the avenue of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I think it's amazing that the Lord says, because it's what's interesting is a lot of people are, it's this way a lot of times in the election, usually you get about right down the middle, some people that are really happy and some people that are not very happy. And, a lot of times, especially if you listen to the news and different things, it's a lot of doom and gloom. And you'd think that the president was on the throne, but God's on the throne. No matter who gets elected, it doesn't change who's on the throne, amen? But the doom and gloom, they'll report, if you're on the Democratic side this time, they just think, they're having protests. I've heard of crazy things at colleges where they're letting people skip tests to go meet with counselors over this. I mean, have people never not got their way before? I'm serious. Have people never not got their way before? I mean, my goodness. And I'm sure it was that way too when President Obama, certain people I'm sure were up in arms and everything and just thought the world was coming to an end. Well, guess what? The world didn't come to an end. Here we are. Praise the Lord. And but anyways, my point being this is that that office of the president is the highest in the land. And the reason that people get so moved and upset by it is because they have belief that that office will dictate how life will go in the country, and which will translate how life will go for them personally. Well, we see that's just not the truth, praise God. How life goes for us, no matter who's at the top, depends on what the body of Christ does, praise God. So what I'm trying to point out to you is the impact the body of Christ can have through prayer. The Bible says it can change a whole nation.
That's
Praise God. That should awaken you and stir you up to all want to get on the same page and be directing prayer in certain areas for certain things, because prayer is no longer, when you read a verse like that, it's not just some religious exercise or something that we, you know, just do because that's what you do as a Christian. It's actually a vital thing that's needed for life to be good. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the body can have, if the body of Christ can have an impact nationally, and a whole country can change and go a certain direction by them praying, what can a body of Christ do locally in the local church? Right? If we can have that much effect nationally and affect things, how much power can we have in our local body? Praise God. Go with me to Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Acts 12 and verse 1. Some of these things, you know, you have new people coming and going all the time, but some of these things, many of you might have heard many times, but I would encourage you to do some inventory check tonight. And if you're not doing the word in these areas, well, then you needed it. Yeah. And if you are doing the word in these areas, let it strengthen you and continue to be that guiding force behind you that's telling you you're on the right path, you're doing the right thing. And so Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." Now we know this, that the Bible says we wrestle not, in Ephesians 6, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, that the devil can possess and influence people, can't he? And cause people to do terrible things. And so when the Bible says that Herod was out to vex certain of the church, we know that it wasn't Herod himself. Because the only difference between Herod and us was Jesus, right? And so the thing that was motivating Herod was obviously the devil. But notice this, that he, the devil, was not after all the church. He was after certain of the church. Seems as though the devil has a hit list. Yeah. Amen? In a church, the devil will have a hit list. To vex certain of the church. Well, let's find out who they were. It says that he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And I mentioned on Sunday, James was one of the bigwigs of the church back then. He was one of the inner three of the 12. I mean, the 12 by itself were bigwigs to go around with Jesus for 3.5 years, to be hand-selected by him. But then to be one of the top three that Jesus would say, no, I need the three of you to come. And they were always Peter, James, and John. He was one of the bigwigs. So we see the devil goes after leadership. And it says that he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. That was a great loss to the body of Christ during this time. Right. To lose James and all the experience that he had, all that Jesus had put into him, was a great loss to the body. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter, who's also one of the top leaders. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quatrains of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the top big wigs in the church. No, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. What's he saying? Prayer was made by the body. Well, what can the body do? Well, apparently, the body can cause a whole nation, regardless who's at the top, whether or not we live quiet and peaceable lives with all guys, depending on what the body does. That's how much influence we have as Christians. Praise God. And he says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. So, evidently, the church woke up and realized their authority and realized, hey, wait a second. James, we thought he could get out of this. He was with Jesus. If anybody could get out of this, it would have been James. James couldn't get out of this. James got in over his head. Well, Peter was taken and said, we don't want to lose him. So we better do something about this. Well, they prayed, and then look what happened, verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. The prisoners before the door kept the prison, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. God sent an angel to deliver Peter. Why didn't God do that for James? Because nobody asked him to. Don't you think God, that same angel that delivered Peter, could have delivered James? Don't you think God would have been in heaven with his child James, getting ready to be killed, just saying, somebody ask me. Somebody ask me. I got someone I can send. Somebody ask me. They didn't. And the Bible says, but prayer was different for Peter. Prayer went forth for Peter, handcuffed God, and God sent help to Peter, and he was delivered. Praise God. So the difference in this situation was one thing, prayer. Prayer by the body. Do you think that James was praying in prison? Absolutely. Absolutely, James was praying in prison. But evidently, when you're in leadership, there can come such assaults against you and such attacks against you that it doesn't matter that you were one of the top three that Jesus had. For so, evidently, James's faith was not enough. And evidently, Peter's faith would not have been enough had the body of Christ not stepped up and prayed for him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. The body has a role, and that role is to pray. Praise God. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, the book after Hebrews. James chapter 5. In verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. But this is what I want to look at. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Do we have any righteous men and women in here tonight? Amen. Absolutely we do. You were made that way, by the way. If you say, well, no, I'm not righteous. Well, if you're born again, you are. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. It says it makes power available. Power available to do what? Whatever it's needed for.
Right.
Amen. Whatever that power is needed for is made available. Hallelujah. Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So what prayer does by the body is it seems that it stores up a reservoir of power for when that power is needed, it's available to be used.
Hallelujah.
I remember Pastor Nancy telling the story when the Lord revealed this scripture unto her and gave her light on that. She was coming home from a meeting and it was really late when they got in and they were driving. She was with her son, Grant. And he was younger and into video games, and they drove by Walmart, and the lights were still on, and he said, Mom, can we go in? There's a game that I want. He was on the road with her, and she had told him that when they got back, she'd get him a game. And she said, honey, it's closed. You know, it wasn't a 24-hour Walmart. It was after like 11 o'clock or whenever it closed. And he said, no, Mom, the lights are on. There's cars there. She said, no, that's not customers, that's the people working. And he said, well, what are they doing at night? And she said, well, they're in there stocking the shelves. So that way when people come the next day, they'll have what they need. And when she said that, the Spirit of God revealed this verse, that that's what this verse is like. That's what prayer does. Prayer stocks the shelves so when it's needed, you can go in and people can take off. Because imagine if they don't stock the shelves at night at Walmart, you'll go there with your list and you might not be able to get everything you need. Because the workers weren't there doing it. Well, see, that's the same way with the body of Christ. When things come up, when all of a sudden, when in this case, we would look at the leaders, when pastor needs something, when pastor needs some power, when pastor comes up against something that he can't do on his own, are the shelves going to be stocked, or am I going to walk through the aisles not being able to get what I need, and then we suffer for it? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a prideful thing, but as the pastor goes, so does the church. It's true. If the more successful, victorious I am, it's a trickle down effect.
Amen.
And if I'm struggling and being smited by the devil and coming after and he's overtaking me, it's going to affect your lives.
That's right.
It absolutely is. What did Jesus say? Yeah, thank you, Lord, for bringing that up to me. He said, "Smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep."
Yeah.
He said, "When the shepherd gets attacked, the sheep scatter." And so you don't want your shepherd coming up against assaults that he can't handle. But the difference will be to keep. We've had people prophesy over me personally and over this church and over what we're going to do. We know, and you know in your heart. I talk to people and they say, "Man, we just sense something big's coming. We can sense that we're on the verge of some things." Well, Well, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to the belief of an email that I got, when they prophesied the Miracle Mike thing over me, that was not another rung on my success ladder. I had nothing to do with that word. And in fact, that word coming to pass, like the way I told you from the very beginning when we watched that up there, that word won't come to pass on that word alone. That word won't come to pass on me standing in this office alone. In fact, for that word to come to pass, it's going to depend on you hungering and thirsting for it. Amen. Yeah, because we know that Jesus was way more anointed than I was. He stood in all five offices. He didn't lack anything. Yet when he was in Nazareth, he couldn't bring what he brought to everywhere else because of the people. The body has such an important role to play. This is not a one-man show. And yes, I might stand at the forefront of this church, and I might stand out in front leading the way, but without everybody else, it doesn't matter. You know, a captain of a ship might stand and be the captain of the ship, but my goodness, that ship does not go where it needs to go. That ship does not stay sustained the way it needs and maintained the way it needs to maintain unless there's a whole crew with that captain. It's the truth. Praise God. And as I stand in front of you tonight, go with me real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 29. We've talked about these things before, about praying for your pastor, and I think some people grab onto it and do it, but I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one thing that I don't claim to be the sharpest tool in the drawer, and I just, that book smarts and things like that, that just doesn't come very naturally to me. But one thing that I am smart about and I do recognize is I know who I am and I know my role and I know what's needed in my role for my role to succeed. And I'm thankful that I know that. I'm not blinded by some arrogant stance that, without me, this doesn't go anywhere. No, I realize without you, this doesn't go anywhere. Praise God. And it's the truth. I need you. You need me. But praise the Lord. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29, he says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." This is talking about communion. But he says, "Not discerning the Lord's body," verse 30, "for this cause..." For what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. There's many different applications here. I'm just going to look at one. Not discerning the Lord's body. "For this cause, many are weak, sickly, and sleep among you." Well, that's the progression of death. You get weak, you get sick, and then you sleep. It's not talking about taking a little cat nap. It's talking about taking a dirt nap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I like to give turkey and deers. Dirt naps. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyways, it says that this cause, not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak and sick among you. Well, I've heard it said from prophets before, Dr. Dufresne, Brother Hagin, that many pastors on their gravestones, it should be written on there, "Killed by the church." You could say about James, "Killed by the church." You could say about Peter, "Spared by the church." Here were mighty men of faith. What am I trying to do? Drill into you how important that you are. Well, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, one, I'm not going to not discern the Lord's body the right way in the sense that I understand that the body of Christ has a role in whether or not I succeed and fulfill my plan and my purpose for this church. So I'm not going to be weak and sick and sleep among you because I'm going to discern right that you have a major role and I'm going to make sure to always keep it before you and let you know. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Praise God. After Sunday service, and I let the word saturate me, I want to walk out of there and go, "Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian." Didn't you feel empowered as you walk out? Like, wow, I got a big job to do, and I am important, praise God. God needs me. This world might not understand it, but my God, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For if by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member. Say, it's not one member. It's not one member, but many. Now notice this. Because in this local body, I'm the pastor. But the pastor doesn't make up the whole body. He said, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So you might say, well, let's just read on here real quick. In verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Let me ask you a question. Are the eyes and the ears in your natural body, are they different? Yes. They look different and they have different roles, don't they? Yes. Now, the eyes have a very important role, don't they? Yes. But the eyes would be foolish to say, look at me, how wonderful I am and how big of a role I have. I have such a great role. I don't have need of the ears. That's foolish, isn't it? Yes. Just as much as the ears and the important role they would have would say, oh, you know what? I'm so important. Oh, everything I do, I'm so needed. I don't need those eyes. That would be ridiculous. Just as much as it would be ridiculous because the pastor's part of the body, but there's different members in the body, it would be foolish for you to think, pastor's got this. Pastor can do this on his own. Pastor seems like a mighty man of faith. He tells us testimonies. We've heard things prophesied over him. He can do this. That's like saying near the eyes, or that's like saying when you're the ears, oh, the eyes are so important. I'm not going to do my job as the ears because the eyes, they can do it all. They're so important. That's foolishness. Then the body gets hurt.
Right. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand how vital you are and that a mighty man of faith lost his life because people didn't have a revelation of who they were. Amen?
Amen.
So go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. It won't take us long. You know, sometimes you don't have to be long-winded. You might think, well, you should try it sometime, Pastor. Now, this, I love this. Paul's the one that wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, discerning the Lord's body. Look at the humility in verse 19. Paul says, and for me. Now, you say, and for me, what's he talking about? Well, in verse 18, he talked to the church about praying. So he said in verse 19, church and for me. I love it. The mightiest apostle of them all is talking to the church at Ephesus and saying, you need to not forget about me when you pray. Amen?
Amen.
If Paul needed the body to pray, I think Pastor Mike Anderson needs the body to pray. So let's look at this. Are you ready? Now, this is what you're going to do now. You're going to take these things, just like the Word of God says, and you're going to pray these things. It doesn't take you very long. Say, I've heard this a million times. Well, if you're not doing it every day, you need to hear it a million and one times.
Right.
Amen. Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes power available. Not, well, I did it once a year. No, we need this stuff. He said, and for me, number one thing you can pray for your pastor is that utterance would be given unto Pastor Mike. Amen? Do you see that there? People say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray for. I'm giving you a list. Number one, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give Pastor Mike utterance. Amen? Well, what was utterance? Utterance was that word for crystal, praise God. Utterance was as rabbit trails. Utterance is when something gets needs to be said and the Lord brings it into my spirit and I say something. Just like I didn't have in my notes when Jesus said, scatter or smite the shepherd, scatter the sheep. That's called utterance.
Amen.
That we needed to hear, praise God. So number one, pray that Pastor Mike would have utterance, praise God. That's simple enough, isn't it? Father, give him words to speak, praise God. Number two, pray for me that utterance would be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Praise God. Number two, Father, I pray that you would grant unto Pastor Mike boldness when he speaks the word. Boldness in the pulpit, boldness in a text message, boldness on the phone, boldness in a meeting. Whenever he opens his mouth to speak the word, I pray that you would give him boldness. Evidently, Paul was saying that if the church didn't pray for boldness, there would be a chance that he wouldn't speak with boldness. I can't tell you, ladies and gentlemen, maybe some people have said to me, oh, I would hate to be a pastor and say some of the things that you have to say. Well, you're right. You would hate to do that. Amen. That's why there are times where the Lord, there are times that I have to say things to people, where I have to, you know, have to correct people's line of thinking because they're hurt or they bring something to me and they're about to go down the wrong road, or, you know, They're representing the church wrong and doing things, and I got to tell them, listen, can't have you serve like that or speak a word of boldness to somebody. That's not very fun to do. That I'll tell you, I'm a human being just as much as anybody's a human being, and I'm actually a human being that naturally is not given to conflict. I don't enjoy engaging in conflict. I'm not like Pastor Tim Stallman. He would love to just get in a debate with you and debate you until you turn blue and wear you out. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, there's strengths to that. Praise the Lord. But I'm not naturally like that. I don't like conflict. And so there's more of a natural slant for your pastor to want to stay off of that type of thing. And I'm not naturally geared that way. So I do need the spiritual help from people praying for them. That's why I had to laugh when Pastor Nancy called me out one time and said, the way Lester Summerall ministered, that boldness, that same boldness will be on you. I said, oh, no, Lord. You must have the wrong Pastor Mike. And I know at times we're very bold, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that is not naturally how I am. And when it does come out, praise God, it's because people are praying. People are asking for it. People are requiring. And I'm praying for it myself. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's the hard things that we need to hear, but the hard things, we don't hear them unless the hard things get said.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when the church was struggling financially early on, and we just moved into what's now the old sanctuary, and I had prayed, Lord, what do I do? You know, it's summertime, people aren't giving, and here we got more bills going out than we've ever had going out. I said, Lord, what do I do? And the Spirit of God directed me to write a letter. I was so taken aback by that, I even called my pastor. I said, this is what the Spirit of God's telling me. He said, you're the pastor, obey God. I said, Lord, give me the boldness. And I was very bold in that letter. I said, listen, if we want to keep this church going and reach all the people, people are going to have to start being faithful with their finances. And people responded, praise God. But I truly believe people were praying for boldness because I did not want to do that. So pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. Father, I pray that you give them utterance and give them boldness. Now go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. I've given words to people. I've called people up and said, this is what the Lord's dealing with me. And they were so hard to say, words to say. And people say, oh, Pastor, that saved my life. It's happened time and time again. I believe it's because people are praying. Because I'm not naturally given that. I just would rather avoid conflict. So then Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us. So he told the Ephesian church. Now he's telling the church at Thessalonica, pray for us. We need it. Number one, pray that we have utterance and pray that we have boldness. Number three, pray that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified.
Amen.
Amen. It's the word that changes people's lives. Do you realize that if you would let the word penetrate your life and end up doing what the word said, it will change every area of your life? If you'll let the word penetrate your life financially, healing scriptures, different things like that. And a lot of times, the word doesn't have free course. What's free course? The word can go wherever it needs to go. Free course. Well, apparently, the devil will put up stops so that the word can't get to where it needs to go. But if we'll release our faith as the body and pray that when Pastor Mike preaches the word, it has free course and it is glorified. What's that mean? It's magnified. Praise God. The Word is first place in this church. Hallelujah. I know this isn't a shout-me-down faith message, but this is the kind of message that will lead to shout-me-down faith messages and keep us safe, praise God. So pray for us that the Word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. You know, I think about free course. I was coming back from one of the services in Iowa, and they were having torrential rain storms, and I couldn't get to my destination. You know, every service, God has a destination for the Word. He has a starting place. See, my goal is never to have a rip-roaring good service. My goal always is to have a service that pleases Jesus. But the service will always have some form of the Word in it. And the Word needs to go somewhere, be released, and then go out and get into people's lives and have free course. Well, I was coming back from one of those meetings in torrential downpours. And the airport that I went into it would have been Cedar Rapids, is a small airport. And the rental cars, they didn't have very many options, and they didn't have an option of one with a GPS. And usually I make sure to get a vehicle when I'm traveling with a GPS because I know I'm not very good with directions. And so I want to get a GPS for that reason. But they didn't even have cars with a GPS, so I was in trouble. So I was trying to look on my phone and different things. Well, I had learned the route to and from by the last night of the meetings. But as I was coming out, it was raining harder than I've ever seen it rain before. And I'd start to go down the road I was going, road closed signs with lights. Couldn't get past. It's flooded. And so I'm going. So I need to get to a certain place. And I'm driving all around. And I'm trying to put it in on my phone. And it's taking me one direction. And I'm going in that direction. And there's a stop there. And there's another direction. There's a stop there. And I was wondering at some point in that night, am I ever going to make it back to my hotel room? Because I had no idea where I was in that city. Finally, I did see where there were a bunch of cars where they had streamlined everyone in. But that's the picture I get in my spirit when the Word doesn't have free course. If it's not, see, if the Word, if you have not watered the service with praying for the Word to have free course, when pastor preaches it, it's going to go to where it needs to go, and it might need to penetrate somebody and get into somebody, but that watering wasn't there to soften up their heart, to soften up, to get things ready, and bam, there's a stop. So the Word's got to go someone else. Well, there's a stop there. We want the Word to go out and do whatever the Word needs to do. Amen. Well, apparently, you need to be praying for that, or Paul wouldn't have said it.
That's right.
Amen. Do you realize how important you are in each and every service? I mean, my goodness. And I'm going to mention something that the Lord mentioned to me while I was meditating on this about those healing crusades that God put on my heart. Because there's something that needs to be done. He directed me before we even think of even having those. So then he said, so we're praying for utterance, boldness, that the Word has free course and glorified. In verse 2, and that we may be delivered, must be Paul, heard about James. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I guess it's not high and mighty pastor with all his faith. I guess pastor needs people to help him be delivered from the ones that are out to get him.
Amen.
Praise God. I was humbly telling you, I need you, glory to God, to help with this. So pray, Father, I pray that you deliver pastor and his family from unreasonable and wicked people, for all men not have faith. This stuff's important, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the four things you're going to be praying for me every single day for the rest of your life, okay?
Amen.
Every day for the rest of your life. I'm telling you that because that's what I need. I need that power to go up. You're going to pray that I have utterance, boldness, the Word has free course and glorified, and that I'm delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. Now go with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is just a checkup for us. It's chapter 4 and verse 29. Isn't that amazing, though? You smite the shepherd, sheep are scattered. Whew. Shepherd's important in the sheep's life. Amen. The shepherd is important in the sheep's life. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Now notice this. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders, and I throw in miracles in there, because that signs and wonders are, those are miracles, may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now those healing crusades that I told you about, if you're not familiar with those, the Spirit of God told me some time ago that we would have a healing crusade in this church where we would advertise beforehand and we would have a week of meetings, probably from a Sunday to a Wednesday or Sunday to a Thursday in the evening, where we're going to teach on nothing but healing. And the way I see it would be that we would advertise the last night, we'll be laying hands on the sick. Basically, the idea is get people to come hear the word, get their faith built up, and then release their faith when hands are laid on them. You know, where you have a role in this to serve, not only to show up, but to serve, but also to advertise. Remember that? So I've been praying about that in the time frame, and there's something stirring in my heart, and we'll see if that's when it's going to be. But the one thing the Spirit of God said before we even think about having those healing crusades is that those healing crusades and that healing meeting have to be watered with much prayer if we're going to have success. You look at Charles Finney. You need to read Charles Finney's autobiography up in the Rochester area. He would go into places and have evangelistic meetings, and not one person in the town would leave those meetings unsaved. But he attributed the power to those meetings to people that would go before him in the cities, and they would spend much time praying. Well, what were they doing? James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. They were watering the atmosphere. See, a lot of times we expect a harvest without sowing or watering at all. If we will water and sow in the spirit realm and get this such ripe for the pickings that when we have those meetings, healings will be popping like crazy. People will come out like crazy. But if we just, well, pastor said we're going to have healing meetings, sounds good, sign me up, I'll come up. And then we have those meetings and there's no prayer, they're going to be dry and we're not going to achieve the results that we could have. And so here he's saying, if we want signs, wonders, and miracles, we have to request and ask God. It's not enough that God wants them. Right. Amen? Right. Amen? Jesus wanted them everywhere he went. But in Mark chapter 6, he didn't get them in his own hometown. Wasn't God's fault. Wasn't his fault. It was the people's fault. They weren't hungry enough for it. Well, don't come up and ask me when we're having those healing meetings if you're not on your face praying for them. I don't want to hear it. Because you're not ready to have those healing meetings. Amen? So from this point forward, not only I need you praying for me in this way, but be praying for the signs, wonders, and miracles, and be praying specifically for those healing meetings. Say, I don't know what to pray for. Sure you do. It says, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done. And ladies and gentlemen, praise God, aren't you glad that we have Romans 8:26? Pull that up and we'll close with this. Romans 8:26. What did Paul say? I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, the Bible says in verse 26, likewise, Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That's not talking about sicknesses, it's talking about weaknesses. What's a weakness? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You don't have to know how to pray every single thing. That's the beauty of praying in tongues. When God puts somebody on your heart, when God puts a situation on your heart, you don't have to know all the ins and outs. All you have to do is say, Holy Ghost, help me pray. You take off praying in tongues, and the Bible says he gives the words. He gives you intercession. He stands in the gap for you, gives you the words, and by you praying in tongues, you're praying out the perfect will of God, verse 27 says. So when it comes to these healing meetings, water the atmosphere by praying in other tongues. Amen. We're going to exercise that tonight here in a minute. And I'm going to invite anybody up. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. I saw in my spirit, not only the word for Crystal, but I saw in my spirit opportunities tonight for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean it'll happen. But I saw in my spirit the opportunity for that to happen. So we'll all pray eventually. And you say, don't, now you start getting in your head. If you're not filled, don't get in your head. All you need to be telling your head right now is that when Pastor Mike lays hands on me, I'm going to open my mouth and the tongues will come out. Praise God. But you don't want to miss out on that, because there's situations and things that are in front of you and in front of your life that need to be prayed out that you don't know how to pray for them in English. But thank God for the beauty of praying in tongues. So don't forget, Pastor needs you. Amen. It's a wake up and a reminder. We've preached this before, but I know in my heart it's not being followed up on like it should be. It is in a measure, but not like it should be. Not like it's needed. Amen? Amen. So let's go after it like a dog on a hunt, like a bulldog after a bone, okay? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you and magnify you. We praise your name, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. Come on and bless him, folks. We honor you and magnify you.